You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart.
Welcome to the 2018 Voter Cram Session from the California Dream Project. I'm Larry Mantle of NPR member station KPCC in Los Angeles. The California Dream Project is a statewide media collaboration of the nonprofit news site CalMatters, KPBS San Diego, KQED San Francisco, Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, and KPCC in Los Angeles. During this hour, our political analysts and journalists will lead us through each statewide ballot proposition 1 through 12. We'll take them in numerical order so you can follow along on your sample ballot or make notes as we go. Our experts are Caltech Professor of Political Science Michael Alvarez, San Francisco Chronicle political reporter Melody Gutierrez, interim opinion editor of the Southern California News Group Salvador Rodriguez, NPR member station KQED politics reporter Katie Orr, and the director of Loyola Marymount University's Center for the Study of Los Angeles and LMU professor of political science, Fernando Guerra. We are going to do this numerically to make it easier to follow, not based on necessarily what's most controversial or important, but we begin with the bond measure Proposition 1. This issues $4 billion in bonds for housing programs and for veterans' home loans. Who would like to start us on that one? Katie, you want to start us on Prop 1?
Sure. I can just tell you a little bit about why we're seeing it in the first place. In the fall of 2017, lawmakers were really dealing with affordable housing. It's sort of like the issue that has surged to the front of the political forefront in Sacramento. And so we saw several bills related to housing, and this is part of that effort, this bond measure that you'll be voting on in a couple weeks.
All right. Sal, you're a libertarian-minded person. As a fiscal conservative, you know, what are fiscal conservatives saying about the bond measures, even if they support the causes?
So it's important to keep in mind that bonds are not free money. Bonds need to be repaid, and whenever you take a look at a bond amount, basically double it, that'll be the total cost to taxpayers. In terms of you take it, you double it, half of it is going to be the upfront money that the bond measures propose and call for. The other half is going to be interest payments on bonds. And so it's important to keep in mind that in a state that has hundreds of billions of dollars in unfunded liabilities as it is, that when you add additional debt, that has to be paid for somehow. And that's something that people have to keep in mind, is that this is not free money. Whatever the intentions of the bond measures are, you're going to end up spending twice as much that you're putting up front.
Well, a very important point you raise. The flip side is interest rates, at least for now, are still historically at a low level, even as they are continuing to rise, which does help a bit. Fernando, briefly, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Salvador is right about not only this proposition, but all the bond measures. But on the flip side, when you take out a mortgage, you basically double that amount. And why do you do that? It's because you're investing in your future and stability, and you need to have that infrastructure. And that's what we're doing here. And the decision really, I don't think, is necessarily about money, although you should take that into consideration. It's such a small percentage of what the California budget is. It's whether you believe in this investment and an investment that government should be making.
All right, Melody, quick thought on Prop 1.
I think absolutely this is a measure that will be interesting to see given the climate right now with housing. I think that will drive a lot of voters, with your heartstrings, so it'll be interesting to see.
As we've seen in Los Angeles City and County, where in recent years we've had two big big-ticket measures to help with homeless services, L.A. County's Measure H and the City of L.A., Triple H, designed to create housing for homeless. Proposition 2 is a bond measure which takes some of the revenue from the so-called millionaire's tax. This tax on high-income Californians to pay for mental health services. This provides $2 billion in bonds for preventive measures on homelessness and to provide housing. Michael, you want to start us on this?
Sure. This is another attempt by the state legislature. The legislature put this one on the ballot to try to deal with our housing affordability crisis that we have in California. It's a bit different than the general obligation kinds of bonds. It's a revenue bond in that there's already a dedicated stream of funding here. And so the funds to pay the bond back will come from the revenue that already exists.
And is there any controversy about taking money that was designed for mental health services and transferring that into a pool of money for housing?
Yeah, absolutely. Melody? That's even the road to get here. This is essentially a bill that was Senator Kevin De Leon's in 2016 and was challenged by a lawsuit saying, you know, that's not the intention of Prop 63, which is the money that is going to be used for this specific bond measure. And so there are people who are saying that you're taking money that is meant for mental health services and now creating a housing program out of it.
And for mental health
for
patients,
mental health.
Right?
Yeah.
And just remember, this was the millionaire tax that we passed, Proposition 63, back in 2004. This is not new money. This is just saying that money, we can now use $140 million of that money to build housing for mental health patients, right? And the other point I want to make is reiterate what Michael said, is that all these initiatives, they're either placed on the ballot by the state legislature or by signatures. And this is one that's placed by the state legislature to change a law that was already voted upon the voters that they cannot change, but they need your permission to be able to spend the money differently. Not new money, but to spend it differently.
Sal, you want to weigh in on this because it is a little different than Prop 1?
Well, there's the same issue that's at play, that this will ultimately cost close to $4 billion. Half of that will go towards these housing programs. The other half will go to interest. Now, one thing to think about is that that's over $1 billion that could have gone to mental health services, that voters intended to go to mental health services, that will instead go to pay off interest on a program that they did not originally support, and that money that was taxed from people, that's now money that's not going to go to mental health services. That's going to go to a brand new program with results that we don't yet know what that is. So I think that's something that has to be kept in mind, that this is something that's going to be, it's going to end up costing double what it is up front. It's a brand new program. It's taking money away from services. And this is the Mental Health Services Act has already been under fire for ever since it was passed by the state auditor, by the legislative analyst office. This money that's already being underused as it is. And so now do we want to take that money and waste half of it on interest payments? That's
we're talking about Proposition 2, the bond measure, Melody?
Right. I would just jump in there and say absolutely there have been a lot of controversy over the spending of Prop 63, but I would add that the author of that measure, Daryl Steinberg, who's now the mayor of Sacramento, he said that it was always intended to create a program that stabilizes homeless, mentally ill homeless people.
All right. So that's Proposition 2. Next up, the third bond measure on the ballot, Proposition 3, which issues nearly $9 billion in bonds for water-related infrastructure and environmental projects. Who'd like to start us on that? Katie Orr?
Yeah, I can say if you think you voted on a water bond before, you have. This is about the third one. We had one in 2014 that was for $7 billion, and the governor came out very strong for that one. There was one in the spring that we voted on for $4 billion, and that was actually an effort by lawmakers to keep this proposition off of the ballot. They were trying to sort of do an end run around that, but they were not successful. This one would be for watershed treatment, habitat, groundwater management, a whole slew of different water projects. But it's not, we don't see the governor jumping in and supporting this one as we have in the past. There's a feeling that the government, the legislature and the government is not the ones backing this measure.
And do we know how much of this money would go to providing a more reliable source of agriculture water in California versus urban residential use? Has that been delineated to anyone's knowledge?
It seems like most of the water is for people are saying that one of the criticisms is that this is a giveaway to agriculture businesses and that they are the ones that would benefit most from this. And if specific water projects, water districts want money for their projects, then they should find a way to fund them. We shouldn't be making everyone in the state pay for projects that will only benefit specific places.
All right. Michael Alvarez, anything quickly to add?
Well, I think
that?
The other thing about this one is, and again, I spent the last couple of weeks reading through this and trying to figure out the details of how this money is going to be spent. And it's really unclear exactly what kind of transparency and oversight we as taxpayers will have with the expenditures under this measure. As I understand it, the money basically goes to agencies. State agencies are going to allocate the funds, and it's really not clear to me exactly how you track the money. Was one of the concerns I had with it.
All right, that's Proposition 3, nearly $9 billion, water-related infrastructure and environmental projects. The final bond measure is Proposition 4, $1.5 billion in bonds for children's hospitals. Melody, you have anything to say on that?
Yeah. I mean, this one is one of the ones that doesn't have a lot of opposition. It's funding cutting-edge technology for children's hospitals. That's probably a hard thing to run your opposition campaign on. But, you know, their argument is that they treat children from low-income families, they're not being subsidized for some of that care, and that this money is needed for seismic upgrades, equipment. You know, the one thing I would add is that if, like Katie said, if you feel like you've voted on this before, you have. There were two different bonds for similar improvements, $750 million bond in 2004 and a $980 million bond in 2008. So these are things that are going before voters, several times in the last couple
and
years.
And the retrofitting issue is a big thing for a lot of hospitals, I know, because just the cost of doing it to these large facilities is major. Sal, your thoughts on this bond measure?
So to take a stand against children's hospitals, this is one of those measures that sounds good. Who's anti giving children's hospitals money? Well, I am. So this is $1.5 billion. This is going to end up costing double that. How about this is just an idea. How about the state, if children's hospital retrofitting is so important, how about the state just take some money out of its massive budget that it and the massive increases in revenue it has every year and put some money to children's hospitals retrofitting with existing revenues? They could do that if it wanted to. The state legislature could do that if they wanted to. Instead, we have this measure right here, which is $1.5 billion. That's going to be costing double that. It's going to be at the expense of taxpayers. And when I asked the president of the California Children's Hospital Association if this money was necessary, she said, yes, it would be nice to have. We do a great job of fundraising, but this would be nice and helpful.
All right. This is the 2018 voter cram session from the California Dream Project. Every statewide ballot measure, the pros and the cons, with our expert analysts and journalists. We'll be back with more conversation in 1 minute. This is the 2018 voter cram session. Heard on public radio stations throughout California, I'm Larry Mantle of NPR member station KPCC in Los Angeles. We're at KPCC's Crawford Family Forum, this hour devoted to looking at all the major aspects of each California ballot proposition. We're going in numerical order. If you joined us late, just want to let you know that the entire program is available online at kpcc.org. And you can also take part in the social media conversation about any of the ballot propositions. Just tweet with the hashtag CADREAM. That's for California Dream, this collaboration of nonprofit newsrooms, hashtag CADREAM on Twitter. Let me reintroduce our panelists in conversation. With us, KQED politics reporter Katie Orr, Southern California News Group interim opinion editor Salvador Rodriguez, San Francisco Chronicle political reporter Melody Gutierrez, Caltech Professor of Political Science Michael Alvarez, and Loyola Marymount Professor of Political Science Fernando Guerra. So we pick right up on the sample ballot with Proposition 5. Now, this revises the process for homeowners who are age 55 and up. Typically, if someone sells a house that they've had for a long period of time and they're paying their property taxes at the lower Prop 13 protected basis, they can at most get one exemption post 55 to move into another house that otherwise they'd be paying higher property taxes on because it resets, but instead the basis of their old home is used. Not all counties accept that. It is a one-time dispensation. This, if passed, Proposition 5 would allow that to be used for as many home purchases as one makes. Post age 55, you take the lower basis with you, and would require that all California counties accept that lower Prop 13 protected tax basis. Sal, let me begin with you on this and get your thoughts on Proposition 5. Obviously, this benefits people that are age 55 and older, but is it too high a price to pay for that?
No, I would agree with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association that this is a measure that is completely consistent with the spirit of Proposition 13. It protects older taxpayers, older property owners, and it allows them to move without facing crippling increases in property taxes.
All right, Fernando, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's hard to be objective on this one. This is the continuing assault on the younger generation. It's the continuing transfer of wealth from the young to the older. It will negatively impact K through 12 schools. This is basically one generation telling the other, you don't vote, so we're going to take advantage of you. This is basically as bad as the Trump tax cuts were in terms of the impact that it has. And to me, it's almost an offensive type of an issue.
So what about the counter argument, though, Fernando, that this would lead to more older Californians moving more frequently? Because they only get one exemption that keeps people in place, that this would open up housing to younger buyers potentially because older homeowners wouldn't be so fearful of downsizing.
Okay, there's absolutely no, that's a great hypothesis. There's absolutely no data that actually occurs. And think about what we're talking about. We're talking about an older homeowner making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 and we on the sale of the home, and we still want to subsidize them to go and move somewhere else. That to me is ridiculous. I mean, yes, it might lead to maybe more people moving, but minuscule. The potential impact on the California budget in K through 12 is over $1 billion. By giving that $1 billion from children to older folks so they continue to enjoy a high standard of living.
Katie Orr.
Yeah, just to that point, I think that is one of the big concerns that cities and counties have is that they will lose out on a lot of tax revenue. And you see firefighters coming out against this, talking about how they're going to, you know, they'll lose property tax revenue. And, you know, if they lose property tax revenue, they'll probably look for other ways to make it up. So I don't know that we would necessarily, you know, citizens would feel the strain in other ways if they lost property tax revenue. The other thing to point out is that it's the realtors that are really backing this measure. And so there is some criticism that it's a play by realtors to get more business for them. So.
Of course, what may be in the best interest of realtors could conceivably also aid the housing market if, again, more people are willing to downsize, opening up properties that then would be reset for people under age 55 to the higher property tax basis. So, but I understand your point. Yep. For now, there's no evidence that would. Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that again, this is one of these arguments about affordability. We have this housing affordability crisis in California. We'll talk about this later with some of the other ballot measures. I just really have trouble seeing how this is going to create supply. Right. When you think about the crisis is really a crisis of supply. We don't have enough housing. As I think Fernando said, it's not clear to me this is going to generate an additional amount of supply. And it's going to take about $1 billion a year away from cities and schools.
All right. Melody, a quick thought on this?
I think one of the interesting things is just that there is no revenue or income basis for this. And so I think there's a lot of effort to paint that this will affect grandma and grandpa, but you aren't looking at the income basis of who's going to be moving.
And Sal, quick final thought on this.
Yeah, so I appreciate the concern that's expressed about the revenue, the potential $1 billion in revenue loss a year. That's been argued by the California Teachers Association and other public sector unions that have opposed this on the grounds that it'll mean less money for them. I would love it if they had that same concern about the rising pension obligations every year that's hitting every community across the state, including the state government. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars of increases every single year to pay for a transfer of wealth from the younger to the older generations.
But the $1 billion number comes from the legislative analyst. Okay,
yes.
That's the legislative analyst, not anybody else. That's where that number comes from.
So that's Proposition 5 that we talked about for California homeowners age 55 and up who have a lower property tax basis under Prop 13. They would be able to keep that going forward with as many different purchases as they make of homes after age 55. Proposition 6 would repeal the gas tax here in California. This gas tax that was passed by the legislature to fund infrastructure, roads, streets, and now you've got this measure which would repeal it. Those who say that it's made gasoline prices too high, argument of some is that the state of California should come up with, from its own budget, with the money to do this kind of work. Katie, do you want to start us on this one? Because this also has a ripple effect, Republicans are hoping, on statewide office seekers.
Yeah, this is a measure that Republicans are really hoping will get their voters out to the polls. You see a lot of Republican candidates, gubernatorial candidate John Cox is really linking his campaign to this. You see a lot of the congressional candidates linking their campaigns to it. What we have seen, though, is that the donations for this proposition really peaked around the primaries and got people out. But however, they've kind of dropped off in the general election. So the ballot proposition is not getting as much support financially from Republicans as it had in the primary. However, you are starting to see ads coming out against it. There's a big coalition of groups, labor, cities, counties, government officials who are opposed to this proposition, and recent polls show it pretty far down.
All right. Melody.
Yeah, I'm just piggybacking on the polls. I think even your description of this ballot measure goes into the point that the proponents of this are saying, which is you would not know this is a repeal on gas taxes by reading the summary of it, which is eliminate certain road repair and transportation funding. That's become a huge part of the campaign and a lot of grumbling by the proponents of this who say that this was on purpose by the state to try to get this to pass. And I think you're seeing that in the polling numbers that essentially people are reading that and saying, well, I don't want that. But do they know essentially that it's repealing the gas tax? Is sort of the issue.
Michael Alvarez at Caltech, you do a lot of work in Orange County to try and understand the electorate there. What's your sense of Prop 6 and whether it's galvanized voters?
I think the evidence was pretty strong that this issue and the recall election that went on in Orange County in the primary did mobilize many Republican voters to get out to vote. I think it was something, and it's also something that the Republican running for governor John Cox has been campaigning on. It's one of these kind of cynical attempts by politicians to use the initiative process in their electoral campaigns, and we've seen this in the past. I know we'll see it in the future because it's an effective tactic to get your voters out to the polls.
Yeah. Sal, you want to weigh in on Prop 6?
So the Southern California Newsgroup originally endorsed Senate Bill 1 when it was proposed last year. Because we recognize, and I recognize, and I think most of us can recognize, that it's important to have adequate funding to pay for maintaining and taking care of transportation infrastructure. That's quite important. The issue with Senate Bill 1 was, one, a matter of process. The gas and vehicle registration fee increases were rammed through the legislature relatively quickly in a process that involved $1 billion in giveaways to buy votes, essentially, from various legislators, including Sabrina Cervantes, Richard Roth in the Inland Empire, and elsewhere. But there's also a matter of the fact is that the state of California, one, has a profound amount of money. In the last seven, eight years, the state budget has grown from $86 billion to nearly $140 billion. So it's not that the state doesn't have a significant influx of money coming in year after year after year. It's that the state does not prioritize its spending adequately. In a time where we are talking about something bizarre like the high-speed rail project, it's a nice idea, a fanciful idea, that's going to cost over $100 billion probably if it ever gets anywhere. Why is it that we're spending? Why is it that we have this significant increase in revenue? Why is it that we have pipe dreams like the high-speed rail project on the agenda, And yet we need to have a brand new source of funding for transportation infrastructure. That doesn't seem right to me. That seems like a money grab to help sustain an unsustainable fiscal trajectory.
Well, and Fernando Guerra, yeah. I've heard some people argue that it is a regressive tax because mm-hmm. people who often can't afford housing closer to work, drive longer right. distances, have less fuel-efficient cars. They pay more.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the major issues I have with this initiative is not actually the repeal, but then it handcuffs the legislature and California government for any future use of fuel taxes. And just the same thing that has happened with Proposition 13, which has handcuffed California to be proactive on a variety of different issues, this will handcuff us for generations to come in dealing with our road repairs. So it's not just a repeal, it further says that you can't do anything without two-thirds vote. It is, again, horrendous public policy problems. I agree with Michael and with Katie that it is a Republican ploy, and Democrats have done this historically as well, using the initiative process. Fortunately, in the last couple of elections, it's kind of died down. This is basically the only initiative that's really being done by a political party like that, where we used to have like four or five every year. But Californians, we vote and love our taxes, man. Just in the last election, we voted all kinds, except don't tax our homes and don't tax our cars. That's the issue.